Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Welcome to the Rookie Fever Podcast. I am Mike, the feverish Finero, and I have yet another 2022 rookie player profile and special guest. He helped me introduce you to Travis Etienne in 2021 during last year's rookie player profile series. And today he's got another running back he wants to talk about. He is writer and podcaster for the Dynasty Nerds podcast, Garrett Price. You can find him on Twitter at Dynasty Price. And today right here on Rookie Fever, Garrett, how the heck are you?
Dude, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I was hoping to be on with you last week. Unfortunately, sick kids and being the only parent home derailed that. But I appreciate you giving me some grace and allowing me to come on this week.
Well, we appreciate you being on the show. You helped us a lot with Travis last year. Hopefully, we get to see Travis play this year. Stay
see
healthy.
See if I was right or wrong.
Yeah, man, stay healthy. I see a little uptick on him all of a sudden. People are starting to talk his name again, saying maybe people are a little too low on him.
We shall see.
Yeah, I have to agree. Went out of sight, out of mind, I'll tell you. All right, Garrett, you ready to get into this?
Always ready. Let's do it.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
All right. So, Garrett, as you know, we let all of our guests on Rookie Fever pick who they want to talk about. Could be for whatever reason. Maybe they're hyped this player up. Maybe people aren't hyping this player up enough. But please tell our listeners who you picked and why you chose them.
Well, last year, I was a bit of a wet blanket, I believe. This year, I am coming in to be a ray of sunshine, an optimist, giving you only the best and brightest on Zamir White.
Nice.
So I'm really excited to talk about him. He's a guy that I liked early on in his career, and my infatuation's only grown. Now, I don't have full blinders on. I'm aware of there is a few warts, but overall, I'm a big fan of Zamir White.
And we'll get to those warts. We'll get to those. And we'll get to the things that we like about Zamir White as well. After the top three, Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, Isaiah Spiller, if we can agree that they're probably the three. At this point in your process, where does Zamir White in your RB rankings kind of fit in? I think everyone after Spiller is just kind of all over the place. I really don't know if there is a consensus 4, 5, and 6 at this point.
Yeah, there's really not. I had Zamir as a top five guy for a while. So Zamir White has been inside of my top five for a minute now.
Okay.
Really, the only difference for me is he moved from 5 to 4. That's really the only difference is he moved up a spot. So Zamir White is currently my RB4. I do have Breece Hall kind of in a tier of his own. And that's something I've been talking about for a while is I think he's head and shoulders better than anybody else in this class at the running back position. And he's just so safe, which is what I really love. And then you kind of have this Kenneth Walker, Isaiah Spiller tier for most people. But for me, those two guys are really not that far off of Zamir and Kyren and Beatty and Pierce. And like a lot of these, like 2 through like 8, 9 are very close for me. Like there's kind of a sandwich of guys where, yeah, in that tier, I would take a few maybe above the others, but I'm not going out of my way to go get Isaiah Spiller when I can wait and get Zamir White, or I can wait and get Damian Pierce or somebody like that.
You going to let draft capital and landing spots kind of filter it all out for you when it's said and done?
That's definitely going to weigh heavier than it has for me in most years. Last year, with a few exceptions, Kylan Hill went later than I expected. So he bumped down a little bit for me. But outside of that, like I kind of my nerd score rankings, which are my tape scores, my individual ones, not the overall one that we publish, but my individual tape scores, I let that be my main guide. And so far that served me very well. I am a big talent over situation person, and there's been no better example. Like I used to always have to like give people examples of like, all right, 2 years ago, let's look at what the landscape was versus now. And, you know, let's look at where the receivers, what quarterbacks they had then. And I try to give this whole vision for it. I don't even need to do that anymore. All you had to do was watch this offseason, the past 3 weeks, and you know that situations can change an absolute instant. I think we really of at any point in our scouting process need to more heavily value players' talent over situation. You know, if people love DK Metcalf a couple months ago, now all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, is he even a wide receiver too? I don't know. Like, you know, just go back to what you think of them as an actual player and let that be the main deciding factor. Yes, factor in who their quarterback is, or in our rookie's case, factor in draft capitals, factor in landing spot, things like that. But overall, let the talent be the main guide. So I don't see a situation where anyone is going to leapfrog Brees, even as much as I love Zamir. You know, there's no situation outside of him falling, Brees Hall falling to day three, that would change anything in my mind. And I think that's how it should be for most people.
Yeah, no, they're excellent points. And when I said that, I was mainly talking about that group you're talking about, and that 4-9, and for some people 10 and 11. Sure. That group, it's kind of like the quarterbacks. Like, people are kind of waiting on the quarterback, saying, okay, Malik's number one right now, but like, who's number two? Who knows? We'll just let the NFL draft decide and tell us. Absolutely. After that. So Zamir, he was a 5-star recruit at one time, considered the number one running back from a prospect standpoint in the country. Last year in 2021, he ran for 856 yards. Are you worried about his production profile at all?
Not really. I understand why, you know, if you're somebody that really appreciates production in college, he didn't have a single season where he was, you know, this monstrous back, but the philosophy in Georgia is much different than it is other places.
Sure is.
Basically, what they do is they tell these guys, look, we're going to get you ready for the NFL. We're not going to give you Derrick Henry workloads. We're not going to give you, like, there's actually only been 4 2,000-yard rushers for their career under Kirby Smart. And that just shows you that, you know, guys aren't getting tons and tons of carries. But of those four players, that's Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, DeAndre Swift, and Zamir White. So, you know, two of those three running backs that are already in the NFL are guys that we consider in the top 10 of running backs right now for dynasty purposes. And then the other guy, Sony Michel, was a first round pick. So this is good company, I think, for Zamir White to be in.
Yeah, maybe this college production profile is hiding him from some people for a little bit, and that'll be when you can snag him up. I was in the Dynasty Nerds film room this week in preparation for our episode, and I got to watch 3 quick 5 to 6 minute cutups of Zamir White playing Clemson, Florida, and Alabama. First off, do you want to plug the Dynasty film room a little bit right here?
Yeah, absolutely. The film room is the spot. I see on Twitter all the time, like, oh, help me find some All-22. And look, I was there. I lived there. we've been fortunate enough to get a few All-22 libraries. And not only do we just say, okay, here's Florida versus Georgia, you know, good luck finding their players in the, you know, because in All-22, they give you 2 angles. So you're watching like double the length of time because of that. But no, we go in there, we cut it up. Every play that player was in, we make sure that we get it on there for you. But yeah, it's usually, you know, the All-22, maybe, you know, in super crazy long games, it might take you to 8 minutes, something crazy like that.
That's pretty digestible.
But for the most part, you're going to be around 5-6 minutes for most of these games. And that All-22, especially for running backs and wide receivers, especially because for running backs, you get that end zone view, and that really helps you a lot with their vision, their decision-making, their patience, really helps with those. The All-22 for the receivers, you actually get to see them off the line and what they're doing when it's not a pass thrown their way, because that's the only time it ever zooms in on them.
Right.
Outside of that, it's just on the quarterback for the most part. So I think All-22 is truly just an indispensable tool for film watching.
Absolutely. Well, I saw those 3 games and I saw good goal line and short yards work. I definitely saw that. I saw good, not great contact balance. It was almost inconsistent for me, and burst. What's your favorite attribute when you see Zamir White on tape?
Yeah. So Zamir White, I think the nice part about him is he has the build. So you're talking about a guy that physically, I mean, they call him Zeus for a reason. He is a weight room warrior. You don't have any concerns about build, conditioning, things like that. And I think that's one of my favorite parts is, you know, especially last year, we saw a lot of guys outside of Javonte and Najee Harris come in that just couldn't profile on the early downs, they were just a lot of third down backs. Now we have a few more guys this year that can profile on early downs. But I think that's really what I like about Zamir is his vision on the inside. And he combines his vision and his patience really well with his burst. Now, don't get me wrong. He is not Travis Etienne from last year where, you know, he's gone in a second and his acceleration is just wild. But I do think he has good contact balance. I do think he has good power, and I do think he has good tackle breaking ability. And when you have those three things and you can combine that with above average vision and above average patience, good things are going to happen. So I would say for me, it's not necessarily just a single attribute that I can point to and say, this is just crazy elite. It's more how he blends these different attributes of his game together so seamlessly into that's what makes him such a good between the tackles runner.
I guess it's a couple different places. He's either 6 foot even or 6'1", 215 pounds. That's a classic build. I'll give you that. I definitely like that. And it sounds like he's rock solid at that size. Ran a 4.4 40 time. I know that we're all talking about these 40 times maybe being a little south of what they should be, but still had a very good combine nonetheless. Showing high marks in the broad jump and vertical, which are usually good indicators of burst and agility. Just his whole overall athletic profile, thoughts on that?
Yeah, he's a fantastic athlete. I think the 4.4 flat was surprising to some people. And honestly, it was even a little bit surprising to me. I had him pegged as a high 4.4s guy. So I had him pegged, I think I had like a 4.49 coming in or something like that. That was my prediction. Me and a few guys, we always like do our predictions for the 40 times, just more out of fun more than anything like that. And a lot of people had him in like the low 4.5s, pushing 4.6s. And I was shocked by that because I thought he showed good speed. Now, he didn't have a ton of long breakaway runs, but you're not typically going to get as many of those up the middle. You know, the where he traditionally runs, guard to guard is where a lot of his rushing production came from. He does do some things on the tackles and stuff like that, but there's a lot of stuff that is inside for him. So you're not going to get as many of those breakaway runs, but I thought he showed good speed. So that 4.4, even though that is slightly faster than I thought, it didn't surprise me at all. So I think that was the thing that a lot of people needed to see coming out was, is he fast enough? And look, guys are running in the 4.6s and it's still suitable for the running back position because for the most part, we're worried about, you know, how bursty are they, how quickly they can move side to side, like different things like that. It's short area stuff. It's not this track speed that we necessarily need. But I did think, I do think that helped check a box off for people that, oh, wait, he's not a plotter. In fact, he's actually one of the faster backs in the class. Look at that.
Yeah, I did see him. It was a 40-something touchdown versus Florida when I was watching that. Film in the Nerds film room.
I think that was the 2020 season.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yep. Big criticism is that he didn't catch the ball in college at all, topping out at just 9 catches last year. Concerns there.
I would say that is probably my biggest concern. And I said I love Zamir White. I think he's great, but I am still a realist on him. I think it is highly unlikely that he will be a 3-down back in the NFL, partly because there's just not many 3-down backs in the NFL right now. A lot of guys are having to fit into a specific role. You have maybe 8 guys, maybe that's probably generous, that are, you know, true 3-down backs that could threaten 300 plus touches and things like that. Like that's just not very normal anymore. But I think he is going to go to a place with a team that does have a good receiving back. And he's going to do a lot of the first and second down work. Think of what the Saints did with Latavius Murray and Alvin Kamara. I think he could be the Latavius Murray role to an Alvin Kamara. And Murray actually is a decent pass catcher in his own right. But I think that's the kind of thing that I'm envisioning. I think a team is going to look at him and say, you know what, we need somebody that can go between the tackles, that can get us that you know, third and one, that can run the ball when we're trying to end the game, things like that. I think he's going to fit that perfectly. Now, does that mean crazy good fantasy production? Not necessarily, because we do play in mostly half or full point PPR leagues. So yes, that does hurt him a little bit, but I do think he's going to be a guy that's going to get a lot of goal line work, which that's going to be a nice boost there. So I think that'll even out a little bit, but for his role, I think he could be one of the better committee backs that we have in the league.
All right. So maybe his upside is curbed a little bit by that. And you didn't peg him like some people are saying with Kenneth Walker. Like, I think Kenneth Walker can catch. You just didn't see it much. You're not saying that with Zamir White. You're like, I think Zamir White is kind of what he was in college. I think he's a first and second down back, but I think he could be damn good at it.
Exactly. That's 100% accurate. And I'll say this too. I have moved on slightly from really evaluating strongly the pass catching of a running back. And that sounds like lazy analysis, and I don't mean for it to. But when we saw 2 years in a row where the top pass catching back in the class, Josh Jacobs and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire, were not used at all, barely, I shouldn't say at all, but very minimally in the passing game. And we have guys like Jonathan Taylor and James Robinson, guys that did not profile as pass catchers, catching a bunch of passes in their rookie and sophomore campaigns. When you see things like that, that tells me two things. One, it's a function of who's their quarterback. And two, it's a function of how the offense flows. So for me to really heavily weigh that in my evaluation process, it really just kind of became a moot point. It was more, if they were asked to catch passes, are they capable enough to do that out of the backfield? Yes or no? And I think that's the tricky part is I still don't know that we have a clear answer on that. It's more of an incomplete right now on Zamir White. And so that's the hard part is I can't really fully check either box. And I think that's what makes me a little bit nervous. But the good news is that would be the cherry on top. If all of a sudden he gets to somewhere and they say, hey, you know, you're going to get paired up with whoever today's version is of, you know, Phillip Rivers, and you're going to catch a billion pass, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, mostly sure. old quarterbacks.
Sure.
And you're going to catch a million passes, then that's amazing. That's awesome. But I'm not necessarily projecting that for him. I think most teams are going to view him as a guy that's going to be used primarily on first and second down.
So speaking of most teams, what kind of draft capital do you believe NFL teams are going to pay for this player?
I feel pretty strongly that he's going to be a third round guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to have enough juice to go into the second, but I think he's too talented of a prospect to fall into day three. If it were to sway slightly, I would sway into the fourth round, but he's not fallen far. He's fallen within the first 10 picks of the fourth round, if that's the case. But I would feel if I had to place a bet on a round, it would heavily lean toward the third round for me.
Cool. Where would you love to see this player land in the NFL and why?
Yeah, I have a few different places in mind.
Okay.
I think the ultimate for most running backs, not all running backs, but I think the best landing spot right now for most running backs is going to be Buffalo. They have a clear need at the position. They have a high-flying offense that can do a lot. And neither Singletary nor Zach Moss, especially Zach Moss, but neither one have done anything really to be like, ooh, that's the guy. You know, Singletary showed a little bit in the playoffs, so maybe he could be, you know, a third down guy or something. But I think that's the best landing spot for almost any running back, assuming that they fit into their scheme. But on a different angle of this, I would be interested to see him maybe in LA and teaming up with the Chargers. I think him with Austin Eckler would be a really nice combination because they don't want to use Austin Eckler that much as a runner. Yeah. They want to use him more as, hey, here's 6-7 rushes a game and here's 6-7 passes a game. You know, and I think that's how they want to use him. And I think Zamir White could then do exactly what he's doing in Georgia. Hey, you're going to get 12 to 15 carries a game and do your best with it. And we're going to let Justin Herbert do the rest. So that's a situation that I could see happening and work out well for him.
Yeah, that Charger one is sneaky good. Wow. The Buffalo one kind of fits what you were saying earlier. Like, you know, I would love to have this complimentary back. Imagine like just moving Singletary back into the third down role now. Where he probably belongs, and then just moving on from Zach Moss. They did that last year. They don't need to draft a player to move on from Moss. They did that last year with all the healthy scratches. But no, those are both really interesting landing spots. Where do you think he's going to go in rookie drafts? And here's a second one. Where would you draft him?
Are we talking one QB or Superflex?
Let's do Superflex because it seems like everybody wants to talk Superflex. Let's leave it there.
All right. So in Superflex right now, I am a guy that tends to lean a little heavier towards a quarterback just because of how much value they hold.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine me taking him in over Malik, Matt Corral, Kenny Pickett. So I think those three pretty safely I wouldn't be taking him over. I'm trying to think. Ritter would be close. Potentially, I'm missing one. Who am I missing?
Howell's out.
Oh, yeah, Sam Howell. I'm probably taking Howell ahead of him still. So yeah, there's four guys there.
Yep.
I have three running backs ahead of him. So then it really just comes down to the wide receivers.
How many wide receivers,
So I think we're looking at probably like 201, like the first pick in the second round.
Yeah.
Probably right around there is where I would be taking him. And I don't think that's crazy far off from where other people would. I'm guessing he's going to go towards like 203 to 205 in most drafts. But I don't think that's super far off. I'd feel comfortable. And if it was a situation where, you know, there was a couple receivers that I didn't really love, I could see me pushing him into the first round. But I can't imagine I could get him above 112.
Gotcha. So one more negative for Zamir. I think you've addressed this on multiple shows. So if you want to keep it short and sweet, we got to talk about it, though. He already has two ACL tears on his injury record. One is senior year of high school. Another one following that year as a freshman in college where he redshirted for Georgia. He's had some healthy seasons now, and ACLs weren't what they used to be. Are you concerned about this injury history at all?
I'm really not too concerned. You hit the nail on the head. ACLs are not really that big of a deal anymore. You know, 10, 15 years ago, they were a lot scarier.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just kind of surprising if a player finishes a career and doesn't have an ACL injury at some point. So, I mean, it seems like almost every guy has to deal with it at some point in their career. So he just got them both out of the way while he was in college. And
there
so
you go. Hopefully we don't That's have a to, positive way to look at it. Sure.
Yeah. Glass half full here. But it's been brought up before too. Frank Gore had, you know, a similar issue where he had two of them before he even got to the NFL, and then was one of the healthiest running backs we've ever seen and just wouldn't go away.
Played till he was 50.
That's right. So I would love to see that for Zamir, but you add on all of the things that this kid went through in his childhood, born with cleft palate. You know, there was questions about if he would be able to make it and just crazy health stuff. And was told that he wasn't, you know, going to be able to be very big. And now he's called Zeus. And, you know, then you mentioned the two ACLs and all that stuff, only to, you know, be kind of this afterthought to some other five stars that then came in at Georgia and high four stars that came in at Georgia. People thought that, well, they're just going to take Samir's role. And then he helps lead his team to the national championship and has his one of his best games of the season in the national championship game. And there were two or three drives in there where they just kept feeding him the ball over and over and over. And you saw him really. And I think that's the thing that I'm excited about is if a team dares to let this poor kid get into a rhythm, it could be scary. Because that's one of the most Javonte Williams is the same kind of thing where you see certain players that get better the more they touch the ball. And most running backs are that way. The more they touch the ball, the more comfortable they get in the game, the better feel that they have for things as the game goes on. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities between him and Nick Chubb. Both had some serious injuries in their career. Both were thought of as like amazing running backs coming out and then kind of became afterthoughts in their own classes and ended up being older prospects. And then Nick Chubb came out and was way faster than people thought he was and breaking off a lot more long runs than people thought he would. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Nick Chubb. I'm really not, because Nick Chubb is a truly special running back, but Zamir White isn't, as a college prospect, is not that far off.
Wow, that's some nice praise. Before we move from Zamir White and give you the final two questions about the rookie class in general, is there anything else that you didn't get off your chest about Zamir White, positive or negative, that you want our listeners to hear?
Yeah, I there's nothing huge about Zamir White, but to kind of like wrap a nice little bow on all of it, Zamir White is an incredibly hard worker from all reports that we've seen. He's battled through a ton of adversity. He's got a great skill set for a two down running back, but three down is probably not likely in the cards, but he could be a very, very good two down running back. By the way, Nick Chubb is a very good two down running back for what it's worth. He played in a system at Georgia that wasn't going to give him a ridiculous amount of carries. We've seen that under Kirby Smart his entire career, but yet he was a guy that ran for over 2,000 yards, like many other great running backs that have come from Georgia. So I think he is a very safe prospect. His ceiling might not be quite as high as a few of the others, but there he's one of those players that I think you can draft. He's going to be in the NFL for a long time and be a really solid asset.
Nice way to finish up with that. All right. So before I let you out of here, I got to ask the two questions I asked you last year about this, this class. Now, who is your guy in this year's draft? You're hanging your hat on him. This is a, either he's a safe pick or you're just like, I want him in every draft. Doesn't matter. This is your guy.
Yeah. So last year, it obviously wasn't the person I talked about last year. This year really is Zamir White for me.
Wow. That's, nice.
He is truly the guy that I, for the price, bang for the buck, you know, that's the guy I feel really, really good about. The other guy that I think is just incredibly, incredibly safe, and he is an upper end player, is Garrett Wilson. I'm taking Breece Hall and I'm taking Garrett Wilson 101 and 102, regardless of format this year, just because there's so much up. The only one I can maybe change out would be Malik. But outside of that, I think I just don't want to miss. And I'm really worried about that in this class is missing. So those two guys there for me, I think are the ones, at least on the upper end, that I would say I feel really safe about.
Good, good. Thanks for not just giving us Zamir White after talking about him. And
I know,
us
right? That would have been cheap. That's why I thought I probably should give a different one too.
That's awesome. So one guy you won't touch and everyone's going to overdraft.
I've been on this bandwagon for a while. And after the combine, he came back down to earth a little bit. But I'm still just, I just don't think he's as good as a lot of other people do. And that's Tyler Allgeier out of BYU. I have some issues with his vision. I think he needs to clean up quite a bit there. There's some really, I think there's some gaps and things that he sees. And you notice that partly because he's a linebacker that converted to running back and then back and forth again. And so I think people were enamored with the size and then they thought he was going to be like this 4.44 guy. Mm-hmm. Well, then he wasn't. And I think a lot of people have slowed the roll on him. Maybe haven't abandoned him completely, but slowed the roll a little bit. But yeah, he's one that I'm just not interested in. The other one that I've heard very mixed reviews on, like I've heard two or three people love him as a sleeper and then a couple other people not fans at all, but the lowest rated running back that I've graded so far, and I still have a few more to do, mostly smaller school guys like Greg Bell out of San Diego State and you know, Ronnie Rivers and different players like that, but of the, you know, 19-20 that I've graded so far, Tyler Goodson out of Iowa is my lowest rated running back. I did not enjoy his film at all.
Garrett, thank you so very much. It was a true pleasure getting you to do another one of these with us again this year. Please tell everyone where they can find you, your content, anything else you want to promote.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Dynasty Price. And then you can find all my work at dynastynerds.com. That's where we're doing a lot of stuff with, you know, I mentioned the Nerd Score a couple times. That's our tape evaluation process. Basically, we put out a score before the draft so that way we can't cheat, because I know people do that. They wait till after the draft and they say, oh, this is what my tape said. No, you waited for draft capital, you cheater. So that's on the site. I mentioned the film room earlier, which is an awesome resource. We've got the GM and all of that that can evaluate your teams for you and tell you where you're at. So and we're growing like crazy, and it's been really, really fun.
I'm a huge fan of Dynasty Nerds, and just to prove it, Dynasty Nerds has reached out to Rookie Fever and given us a promo code. So if you sign up and use promo code Fever, you will get 15% any of their memberships. If you want to go all in and go with an annual GM membership, I strongly recommend it. This GM tool is sick, guys, sick. Trust me. Trade calculators in there. It analyzes all your teams. You can import them from different leagues and merge them all in one. You can see your ownership. You can create trade analysis. It goes on and on. And then we have the film room that you and I talked about this episode. Sure. I mean, there's so many rankings. It goes on and on. And it is a great site. I explained this on last episode of Rookie Fever. Imagine, and I know you guys are doing this, you're probably signing up for two or three different sites. And you're like, it's only $4 a month. Or it's only $3 a month. This has everything that those sites have in one place. So just consolidate, kind of like your streaming channels when you're trying to like figure out. I saved $50 last month by checking out my streaming channels, and I have one more channel than I had, and I'm saving $50. Same thing here. Just go to one place, have it all, bingo zingo, Fever. Promo code Fever, save 15%. Thanks again, Garrett. And thank you, our listeners, for allowing us to hit your ears. This is the Rookie Fever Podcast. Please do not forget to rate and review, and please Do not forget to be awesome.
Awesome. Crushed it.
When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you're gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the
fever.
Now you got the fever.
What a lovely way to burn.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.